We return now to Genesis chapter 4, where we have read of the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. In the account of Cain and Abel's birth and Abel's death, and Cain's existence from that time forward. We are continuing studies from the early chapters of Genesis where Christ himself is presented in picture, in type, in form. We have seen the comparison and contrast of the first Adam with the second Adam, Christ himself, as each was the head of a race. Adam, the head of a doomed race. Christ, the head of a saved and delivered race. We observed last Sunday morning how that when Adam and Eve sinned and had absolutely no idea how to address the effects of their sinfulness, standing naked and exposed, no understanding of what clothing is, or how they might use an animal's skin, not even knowing what death is, which the animal would have to suffer to clothe them, how God appeared and clothed them by the death of an innocent victim. Even a picture of Christ himself, the innocent victim who hanged naked upon the cross, that he might provide a covering for man's sin. Today we come to another great picture of Christ in Abel, the righteous one, who is a picture of Christ in that he offered an acceptable sacrifice unto God, and in so doing became himself the victim of sinners' transgression and was murdered by his brother Cain. It is notable that on this day when we celebrate mothers, that we recognize that the mother of all of us, the mother of humanity, Eve, suffered the death of her own son, and that at the hands of his brother. The first death that fell after the human race was the death that came by way of murder, exhibiting the extent to which all humanity had fallen when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because of the length of time it would take to consider Cain and Abel together this morning, I want to divide the passage into 2 weeks of consideration and look first today at the way of Cain. We have read of that, haven't we, in the book of Jude already today. And the notes that you have provided for you begin with the 3 New Testament passages that make reference unto Cain. First, we read from Hebrews chapter 11, where Abel, the beloved and accepted of God, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel's sacrifice was superior. Both came with an offering unto God, but Cain's offering was not acceptable. Abel's was. And then we note from 1 John chapter 3, where there is the instruction that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who clearly did not love, who clearly is the abrupt contrast to love, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And it is notable that as John writes concerning love, he points to the murderous hatred of Cain as the opposite of that which God's people are to practice. And he names Cain as being of that wicked one. And in his reference to the wicked one, he speaks clearly to the wicked one who had appeared one generation before Cain and Abel to seduce Eve unto iniquity. That wicked one who had promised Adam and Eve that by eating of the forbidden fruit, they would be as God himself, by the second generation of humanity, has transformed the race into a murderous race, and Cain is of the wicked one. And we notice as well then from what we've read in Jude chapter 1 that those false teachers who had infiltrated the early Christian church to whom Jude wrote and had in fact turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness being the shameful exhibition of that which is the shameless exhibition of that which is shameful for its iniquity. Taking sin and making it a thing of glory and of adoration, that is lasciviousness. And as early as the first generation of the Christian church, there were those religionists who entered, creeping in undetected, to turn God's favor unto them into the shameful exhibition of their own sin and their lusts. And as Jude warns about them, he says, they have gone the way of Cain. And this reveals to us that Cain is in fact a pattern of debauchery, of shameful, sinful, ungodly behavior. And so we notice these things concerning Cain. First, when he came with an offering, he brought the wrong offering. Now, what I say to you in making that statement, you know to be most unfashionable in this age of religious permissiveness. Why, the worst thing you can do is to say that someone's religious practice is wrong. Who do you think you are to judge another? It really doesn't matter. We're all worshiping the same God. We're all traveling the same path, just in different locations. And who are you to come along and say so-and-so is wrong? And the often undetected fallacy in that whole thinking is shown simply by turning the tables on the one who has said that. Who are you to say that I am wrong? For you see, he is doing the very same thing. And the thing that prompts him is simply that you have pointed to what is wrong, which he desires to embrace and to cling to and to love. Let us learn from the very earliest offering brought unto God in the scripture that there are two ways, even as we have sung this morning from the first psalm. There is the way of the ungodly, and it will perish. And there is the way of the righteous that will endure forevermore. And those two ways are set before us in the fourth chapter of Scripture with Cain, the rebel, the sinner, and Abel, the faithful saint. And all of the difference in the world, in the universe, and in eternity is to be made between their two approaches to God. Cain came with all of the fruits and the vegetables that he had cultivated from the earth. Abel came with a lamb. And the offering of the lamb could not be made without the shedding of its blood. And indeed, again, for a second time in the early chapters of Scripture, the first being when the skins were taken from animals to clothe Adam and Eve, the second being when Abel came with his lamb for an offering, for the second time, blood is shed, the blood of an innocent victim, the effect of which is to make the one for whom it is shed acceptable unto God. Only by the shedding of the blood of the animals could Adam and Eve be clothed and stand before God. And only by the shedding of the blood of the fatling from his flock could Abel be accepted and stand before God. And God is setting forth for all mankind the necessity of the shedding of blood in order to cover man's guilt. A necessity that will find no satisfaction in all of the Old Testament sacrifices. For though they were offered regularly and faithfully, and the blood of the beasts was shed, yet it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And so when the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, it can only refer ultimately and absolutely to the shedding of Christ's blood. And in the animal slain to clothe Adam and Eve, and in the lamb slain to make an acceptable offering by Abel, there is the picture of Christ himself who would one day be slain, whose sacrifice is the only acceptable sacrifice to make man fit to stand before him. Cain brought the wrong offering. And the reason such preaching is unacceptable today is the same reason that Cain's offering was unacceptable. Think second about what Cain was doing when he brought an offering which represented his toil in cultivating the ground. We read from Genesis chapter 3, when the curse of sin was pronounced because of Adam and Eve's transgression, unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The ground was cursed. And any effort of Cain to exhibit and show off what he had produced from the ground that was cursed can be construed as nothing less than an in-your-face to God himself. You have cursed the ground. Look what I've done with it. Look at the glorious harvest. By the sweat of my brow, defeating the thorns and thistles, I, by my own might, have unraveled the curse. And this is what all of human religion is about. Men, imagining that by their own labors they can set aside the effects of the curse of sin. And in doing so, they, like Cain, always reject the blood of Christ as the redeeming, atoning sacrifice. They will talk about Jesus, how lovely he is. They will write books about the importance of following the example of Jesus and will proclaim if everybody would just follow Jesus' example, the world would be perfected. But the problem is that they do not follow Jesus' example. For Jesus' example includes this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ's example is this. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom, a payment for many, a payment, a ransom, a payment that can be made only with the blood of the God-man, Christ Jesus. And as soon as you begin preaching the necessity of the blood atonement of Christ alone among all of the religionists of the day, suddenly you find their outcry and their outrage just as Cain exhibited his outrage against Abel's sacrifice and exhibited it by silencing Abel in death. And yet we know Abel could not even be silenced in death, for his blood cried out unto God from the ground which was receiving it. Cain's offering revealed the hardness of humanity that pushes aside what God has provided, submission to which requires an acknowledgement of sin and a great humbling before Calvary. Cain would push that aside and instead present the evidence that he has produced, that he, by his own toil, has overcome all the effects of the curse of sin. Third, we observe that Cain refused to acknowledge his mistake. Cain was very wroth. His countenance fell. And God approached him, offering him the opportunity to do good. For we notice fourth that in his refusal to acknowledge his mistake or his sin, he also rejected the only remedy for it. The Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, if you will only do well, you will be accepted." And what is the well that Cain must do? It is simply to offer the right offering. It is simply to present unto God, as his brother Abel has, the bloody offering as his own. But Cain will not do that. For Cain is indeed, as John writes, of the wicked one. And it is the bloody sacrifice which is the destruction of the wicked one and his dominion. And thus Cain, being of him, will not bow, and he rejects the only remedy. He is warned. Sin lies at your door. The concept there is of sin as a crouching beast ready to spring. Cain You are at the place where two roads diverge. You can take the way of the righteous, which is the way of a bloody sacrifice. Or else, sin like a beast is crouched at your door and will leap and overtake you once for all. And Cain goes the way of his own rebellion. He will not accept the one and only remedy. And we read in the 16th verse of chapter 4, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And there is great weight and significance to that statement. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Is there someone here today who, even now as I am speaking, is making the preparation of heart to go out from the presence of the Lord? He speaks today through his word. His word proclaims to you the necessity of a bloody sacrifice. A sacrifice we've already proclaimed is made by Christ himself. A sacrifice by which all of God's people and by which alone they are received unto him forevermore. Cain, refusing Abel's sacrifice, refused the sacrifice of Calvary and went out from the Lord. And there is ever the danger that one here today would imagine to himself that he can erect his own standard and statue of self-righteousness and doesn't need this submission unto Christ and his sacrifice. Cain went out from the Lord, and from that day forward, his record is one of utter disaster. Because his brother is received by way of a bloody sacrifice, and he is excluded by way of his own deeds, he hates his brother Abel. And as they are together in the field, Cain rises and murders his brother. So Christ was murdered, rejected by his brethren. So in Abel is the picture of Christ, the one who offered the perfect sacrifice, and for doing so became the perfect sacrifice. And the scriptures speak concerning Christ's death. As Jesus said to his disciples, they would hate him without a cause in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. So Abel was hated without a cause. Cain had no cause at all to hate Abel. But rejecting the proper sacrifice made him the hater of the one who offered it. And thus those who refuse to submit and bow to Christ and his sacrifice are described as being among his haters. Cain persecuted the righteous. Do you see the digression, the downward spiral of sin, and where it takes one when beginning with self-trust and self-righteousness rather than the sacrifice of Christ? And the concluding verses of chapter 4 describe for us Cain's descendants, how that there came from one a wicked, wicked progeny, as Lamech is the first one recorded to take two wives to himself and then to kill a man and then to evidently compose a little jingle to be sung about what he had done. And from Cain, there developed a civilization. We've read how there was one who became the developer of cattle, and another the developer of metals, and another of musical instruments. There was a civilization that grew out of Cain's descendants, of which Lamech is cited as one of the premier examples, who introduces polygamy to humanity, who kills a man and then seems to revel in the fact, and even to taunt God, if you will. If Cain suffers this, then how much more Lamech will suffer? It's all a big joke. Our sin is for us to enjoy in a godless existence, which is why only a few generations after Lamech, the entire world is destroyed with a flood. God would once for all wipe away every descendant of Cain and those whom they've influenced. And from another son which Adam and Eve conceived, named Seth, will come the descendant Noah, whom God will preserve in the ark, and from him he will establish a new humanity. But though a new humanity is established, Jude writes centuries later concerning the prevailing and deceiving religionists of his day and says they have gone the way of Cain. Though Cain and his genetic pool is wiped out, yet the pattern of wickedness which was exhibited in his own heart continues and is in each one of us. And against it, the only guard that we have is the blood of Christ, the one and only sacrifice by which we can be delivered from the way of Cain and all of its destruction. My friends, the way of the blood is the God-ordained way of everlasting life. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let us all stand together as we pray. Our God and Father, may every soul hearing my voice this day be delivered from the way of Cain and be warned of its evils and its dangers. And as Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, so may each one of us hold before thee the sacrifice of Christ as our own sacrifice, our own cleansing, our own redemption and deliverance. Bless the hearing of thy word this day unto the good of souls forevermore, and unto the glory of Christ, through whom we pray. Amen.